2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell out of town. That means Mitch Harper steps in, and we're all sorts of excited. Of course, we're watching this Philadelphia 76ers and Atlanta Hawks game three right now. And Atlanta, boy, they came out hot with that game one, and they had a huge win there in Philadelphia. And then it's just the last game and this one, games two and three, Philadelphia just kind of imposed their will on them. And with 3:35 left in the fourth quarter, Philly's up 114 to 100.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Alex. I'm loving that the playoffs just have all these teams that haven't won in like 40 years. Or
I know.
Never. It's kind of cool. Like, because you think of the NBA, it's always like LeBron or Steph Curry or the Lakers. Like, they're going to be in the mix. I got to say, like, it's pretty cool to see that every team, it could end a long drought or get their first ever. I think it's kind of a cool dynamic for the NBA. And I feel like they almost needed it because the interest in the regular season was just at the lowest levels that I've ever seen from vantage point. And I feel like this is a nice kind of jolt of energy to give some new life into the playoffs and have these new teams in the mix for a title.
I know you mean well, but you know how this comes off, right? I think it's nice for your little teams to be able to sometimes win a championship here and there. I think it's nice to get some new faces.
The Lakers are
I'm
in trouble.
I'm just so sick of my Lakers always winning.
AD's got to get in shape. I mean, I'm not the one. I'm not the aficionado in that department. But he's got to be in shape. His body's always hurt, man. I'm worried about that long term. But I digress. So that's not what we're.
I think it's real cute. Some of these new teams. I think it's really cute. Some of these new teams.
I think it's great for the league.
It's great for the league that you little guys can go somewhere.
Jazz Suns, inject that into my veins. Let's go.
I'm glad there was actually an Anthony Davis commercial where he acknowledged the unibrow. Did you see this commercial? I was like, they were like, I mean, it's like you with your recognizable. He's all. He's like, the race is the eyebrow. He's like, what? He's like, I don't even know what he ended up saying, but it was like, they didn't want to talk about his eye. Yes, the brow is prominent. We've been talking a little bit about the college football playoff expansion. We talked about the Pac-12 side of things, and we couldn't go this show without. I mean, this is something that you and Matt Biamonte are going to talk a lot about tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to three. By the way, you can tune in and see what the impact for BYU will be with this college football playoff landscape. Do you think that this is going to be something that ultimately is? I mean, anybody could benefit from it because now more teams are part of a conversation. You and I had a freak out moment in the break where I said, imagine how amazing this is where the Pac-12 is going to say, hey, we got to get at least two teams in there. The SEC is going, we got to get at least three teams in on all these. A G5 champion is going to get in. And then six other teams are going to be part of that at-large conversation. And I said, imagine the year when Utah gets into the college football playoff, and it's going to be amazing. Imagine the year BYU gets into a college football playoff. That'll be a fantastic year. Imagine the year that they both make the college football playoff. Imagine the year that they that they actually get matched up against one another in the 12 team. I mean, this is, it sounds like it'd be impossible, but the thing is now it actually is going to be on the table when they expand to 12 teams. So what does BYU have to do to take advantage of this? Because now the playing field is not level for BYU. It needs to change still for them to be able to, I think, get into a spot where they could be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a difficult road because we know what the playoff committee, and we don't know how the playoff committee would look under a 12-team format, but how it's currently constructed, the committee, how they view a BYU team that plays a bad schedule, they don't think anything of them. They don't value an independent BYU that potentially runs the table with a bad schedule. So what that means is BYU's got to load up on Power 5 teams. Well, that's great. But, you know, will Power 5 teams have as much of a desire to want to schedule an independent BYU in the 12-team playoff era? Because you got to think, Alex, I mean, there's a precedent with, like, Pac-12 teams. The last time a Pac-12 team was in the playoff was 2016. It was Washington. They were 11-1, 12-1. Their non-conference schedule was Rutgers, Portland State, and Idaho. So what I'm saying is, like, unless it's an 8-4 Power 5 champ, they're probably going to get in. And they're going to be in. They don't need to go out on a limb and travel on the road to go face a tough BYU. So I think it's a difficult road for BYU as an independent, maybe even tougher because you have to play a ton of Power 5 teams as an independent, and you're always going to be at a deficit in terms of budgets compared to those opponents. And, you know, it begs the question, does BYU need to maybe kick the tires on looking at a Group of 5 team? Because at least in a Group of 5, you have guaranteed access. And look, I've always been a proponent of being an independent for BYU. I think it's the best route to go. But I do think this is the one avenue where you have to maybe consider it a
where
Group of 5
go?
League. I think the AAC, to me, would be the best spot because I think the Mountain West Conference, even though Tom Homel last year talked about how that relationship is better than people give it credit for when they got the Boise State game and San Diego State. But still, I just feel like there is still some old wounds from that league and some sour feelings. I mean, you go to a Mount West basketball tournament, there's still, you mentioned the letters BYU to those fans, and it just conjures up some anger. Like, it's an unusual deal.
So going to the AAC doesn't sound exciting for me, just like listening, knowing what like the schedule this year looks like. But I also know looking at the schedule for BYU in a year like this, they would never get into any sort of version of a playoff because their schedule's too tough. Would Tom Holmo consider saying, hey, we would sign up for that AAC conference? If Boise State were a part of it, I would get on board because Boise State makes it more legitimate. It would bring more eyeballs to that. And the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the Big 10, you know, obviously they are what they are. The Big 12 that BYU fans are like hanging on weirdly to still, like they're going to be a part of it, is never going to come knocking in the current format. It doesn't matter because if you go to the AAC, which I was never a big fan of before, the college football playoff changes that for me. You have something to play for. You have a championship to play for. You have the possibility to go to the college football playoff with an expanded 12 teams if you win that conference. And then you don't have – because you're not going to get in as an auto bid. I mean, unless you go 11-1, and even then. They were 10-1 last year, and they would have been on the outside looking in because they lost that game to Coastal. So I think that a format in this with these 12 teams – just imagine what that would look like. Tom Holmo and BYU, the athletic department, have admitted these have been too tough a schedule.
Yeah.
They've been too tough. You can't have the success. I mean, you have these great games, and then you go 7-5. And the fan base has to go, okay, that's kind of nice to go 7-5. We beat USC in overtime, man. Remember that? And then the very next week, you get beat by 35 by Washington. You know, those are the lumps you take with a schedule like this, and it never pays off. It never pays off because you'll lose two of those games.
It's a tricky situation for BYU, and that's going to be fascinating to see, you know, what BYU produces maybe the next 2 years. It would be great for BYU in this 4-team playoff era because we don't know still when the 12-team playoff era will start. It could start as soon as 2023. The next 2 years, we know it's going to be the 4-team playoff era still. It'd be great if BYU could carve out a 10-11 win season with one of these Power 5 loaded schedules like this year, so we can kind of get a sense of how the committee views BYU when you win a bunch of games against Power 5s, because even that Gary Barta, who's almost like a swear word for BYU fans, he said after last year that BYU's schedule pre-COVID would have been maybe changed the conversation on them a little bit. So it begs the question, like, you know, do you see the path as an independent and maybe just have that hope, like, hey, if all the pieces fall together and everything comes together for BYU and that magical season happens, would that be enough? Because you're beating 6, 7, 8 Power 5 teams, because BYU has shown they can get Power 5 opponents on the schedule as an independent. So it's a difficult balance that Tom Holmes got to face.
Yeah, 100%. I'd rather see BYU go 11-1 with the schedule they had last year than going 7-5 every year against really good schedules. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television is going to walk in. We're going to chat a little bit about the Jazz's shot in L.A. to possibly sweep this thing. Did I just make a boo-boo and say something I should have? Scott would have divorced me after that. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here in KSL's Unrivaled.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.